You are listening to episode number 165 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience as we took last week off due to sickness for Free Comic Day. Hope you had a Free Comic Day. But let's get right into introductions. We are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I am your host, Ben, a.k.a. Marvelous Iggy. Joining me tonight, the man who is secretly a titan, Mr. Taser. Taser, welcome to the show.
Yo, what's up, people? I just have one thing to ask. John. Did you ever manage to hide your copy of Big Booty Bitches Who Love Black Men number 9? Because, like I showed you on Facebook, it can lead to bad marriages.
Well, considering my own wife is a big black beauty only in vanilla.
I'm just saying, I don't want your marriage to fail because, as we all know, porn can ruin marriages.
I don't know. Brian, do you know what's going on?
They can lose your blood.
I don't know, dude.
All right.
I don't even know what's going on, and I saw the stuff. So.
Joining me also, the man who will be turning 21 in a couple of days, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. But if my assumption is right around the time of this posting, I should already be 21, if I'm correct. So, big fun.
You suck at math.
I suck at a lot of things. You're going to have to be more specific.
Hey! Waka waka.
Somebody's getting lucky tomorrow night. All right. And last but not least, the master of Sentai, Mr. Jonathan. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've missed a lot of news. So without further introduction, B-Rye, lay us on some fantastic forecasting news.
All right, folks, the Fantastic Four is picking up speed, currently filming in Louisiana. We've got our casting for a villain, as well as an integral character to the origin of the Fantastic Four, however, pre-Fantastic. First up, playing the role of none other than the Mole Man is Tim Blake Nelson.
Woohoo!
For many of you probably don't know who that is just off the cuff, but... For some background, probably his most notable thing before that, he played Samuel Stearns, a.k.a. the man who would be leader in 2008 Incredible Hulk film starring Edward Norton.
They tease him at the end of the fucking movie and nothing. And now
I know, buddy.
Nothing.
Now but he'll
all
never...
All he ends up with is a green headache. Why?
The thing, the freaking gamma radiation literally spoozes into his head, his open wound.
And then his head starts bubbling.
It was green Excedrin. It was curing a headache. That's awesome.
Why you ruined my dream.
So, Fox poached him from Marvel Cinematic because, let's face it, they won't make another Hulk movie anytime soon, and certainly not with the same premise in mind. However, that's not the only addition to the cast. Also, recently announced, playing the role of Dr. Storm, the father of Johnny Storm, played by Michael B. Jordan, and Sue Storm, played by Kate Mara, is Banshee Alum, House of Cards alum, Wire alum.
You mean alum?
Whatever.
No, not whatever. Alum? It's alum. What the fuck? That's like alum. That's like you saying alum.
Iggy's actually right in this one. It's alum.
It's alum?
Whatever. You say Constantine, you fucking...
It's Constantine.
Oh, dear God.
Actually, it is Constantine.
No, it's Constantine.
No, it's Constantine. Whatever. Reg E. Caffey is playing the father, and he's black.
Get down with the blackness.
Yes, little white girl. It turns out you're the adopted one.
All the speculation that everybody thought that Johnny Storm was going to be... Little did we know, the white one would be the adopted one. That's actually refreshing in my opinion.
That hasn't been proven yet.
Unless the mom is like, you know...
Mark's post. Sorry,
unless they're genetic born, who knows?
To be well, that...
It could happen. I mean, I've watched enough, not Jerry Springer, Maury Povich, to see that you can't have, if you have mixed parents, you can't have mixed children.
Yeah. I'm just saying skin tone-wise, yep. She would be a little bit darker. She's not.
Well, yeah, true.
And he would be, like, he could be black, but he would also have a lighter skin tone a little bit, depending on how it genes.
They might give him blonde hair.
That'd be hilarious. No, who would he look, no, give him that guy from the Fifth Element, Chris Rock's character.
Oh, jeez.
Oh,
yeah.
Blonde is, yes. Blonde and curly.
Rod.
Coban Dallas. I love that.
Oh, I'll have to watch that tonight.
Dennis Rodman.
Yes, Dennis Rodman. I was going for somebody more positive, but.
Point.
He was a bad boy. Look, okay, Tim Blake Nelson, I know him from that guy from Holes, one of my favorite books of all time, one of my favorite movies.
Oh, shit, he was in that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a camp counselor. He was one of the nice one who was really dickish but tried to be nice.
He was the nice one who was really dickish but tried to
be
nice.
The doctor didn't have his doctorate.
Yeah, was that his thing?
Yeah, that was his thing.
I haven't read the book, seen the movie in so long. I'm really excited because Samuel Stearns can definitely play the quirky sort of outcast scientist guy Mole Man will be. I'm not expecting the fucking hunchback that Mole Man is in the comics as depicted by the
I better get Tim Blake Nelson in some fucking Ray-Bans. That's all I'm saying.
I hope they give him big-ass bifocals, acne everywhere, bald head. Like, I want him to be the emphasis of, like, I hate to say this because it'd be really mean, and I don't like to do this, but I'm gonna do, like, nerd, lonely dude. Like, that's what he should be. That's what he is, and that the only social life that he can have is with subterranean monster creatures underneath the earth, if they go that route.
If they do that, all I can hope is that they do the same kind of trick that they did with Jonathan Rhys Davies in the Lord of the Rings movies, and they shrink him.
Oh, with, like, camera perspectives and stuff?
Exactly. Like that, and I would be perfectly fine because I would have a problem if, you know, Mole Man is, like, 5'9". Come on. I think they would have to do something, you know, to kind of alter his appearance that would just be annoying, you know. Like what they did with Chris Evans as Steve Rogers before he got the treatment.
Yeah.
You know, they played with him, and that worked. So if they do something like that, that would sell me. You know, if they just left him, you know, normal, whatever, then I think that'll mess it up for me.
Okay. B-Rye, what do you have to say about this?
I'm really sad that now we'll never get to see him as the leader in a Hulk movie. That really depresses me because I really liked the 08 Hulk flick. I wanted them to keep up with that, you know.
Marvel
but,
seems to have, like, they acknowledge it, but they don't, like, yeah. It happened, yeah. But we're not going to go back to it anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the whole Ed Norton debacle that happened. Or
I think
if
it has to do with that.
Yeah, there's that too, but also the fact that by standards, it made the least amount of money for them, so I guess they just figured, oh, why should we bother?
It's such a good, entertaining Hulk movie.
I know, and plus, you know, Liv Tyler, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Liv mm-hmm. Tyler. But, yeah. Oh, and also it had that guy from Modern Family as Len.
Yeah, now I can't take him. You know, he's actually Samson in that movie.
Yeah.
Which is, when you, now, after seeing his character as Phil Dunphy, I could never take him seriously if they ever reprise his role. I'm like, you're that goofy bastard on Modern Family. I cannot take you seriously.
Not only that, but he was also in the Dawn of the Dead remake. And he was a huge douchebag in that.
Well, maybe he has range. Maybe he could do Samson, but I don't know.
Yeah. He told off General Ross going out the door. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Everybody wants to tell off General Ross.
Yeah, really. Tim Blake Nelson has me sad because no more Hulk. But also the casting of the Black Man. lends itself to whole new possibilities, like the little white girl being adopted, or maybe it's going to have a mixed race where she had jungle fever, you know what I'm saying?
She's got jungle fever.
You know, that whole thing. But we'll see. I mean, obviously both these guys play very good to their strengths, so if they play that up, and obviously they're not shying away from the fact that, hey, we made Johnny Storm black, obviously. But also they're not shying away from going, hey, Marvel Cinematic, fuck you, we're taking your guy and going home. So, interesting moves. I'll wait to see because I still don't have faith in the cast proper, the Fantastic Four. I don't have faith in all of them, so we'll see how that pans out. But yeah, you know, I'm reasonably intrigued, so we'll see where it goes.
I give lots of credit to them because I'll be honest, I expected them to make I really expected them to make Johnny adopted. I really did. But, you know, bringing in what's his name, the black guy, because I really don't care to remember his name.
Reg something.
Yeah, that black guy.
That guy.
That dude. No, but bringing him in to be, you know, Johnny's dad, not saying, you know, I don't know if they'll cast a mom yet or if they ever will, but bringing him in and, you know, yeah, could be, you know. I don't think we've ever seen
Tragic
the mother.
No, it's always been the dad.
Then, you know, they're following something close to 616 continuity anyway.
Yeah. Well, Ultimate Universe had that too as well. The mom wasn't. I don't think she was. I could be wrong.
I don't remember. It's been a while since I read
Ultimate all Universe that. Had Dr. Franklin Storm running the think tank, though. You know, he had that bullshit.
Well, and she worked for Dr. Doom, so.
Well, then, like I said, I give them credit for doing that. I don't think they'll make her adopted, so it'll be mixed race. And while I still kind of go, I give them credit for at least keeping it real in that respect and not, you know, going, well, you know, adoption was the key and whatever. Thumbs up on that.
Okay. So, Jonathan.
I think the less I say about the movie itself, the better. These casting choices sound good, but it's just going to be one of those where, like, certain people with Amazing Spider-Man 2, I'm going to, you know, they weren't interested in it. And I'm not saying anybody names. Quit laughing.
Look, okay, just because a guy doesn't see a fucking movie doesn't mean the fucking guy hates Spider-Man anymore. It just means I had no interest to see the goddamn movie.
You just added yourself for no reason. Seriously.
Everybody knows who you're fucking talking about.
I don't think he was this time. I was laughing over you, but I don't think he was.
I wasn't trying to do that. I was trying to actually just say that, you know, there are people that I've known that just didn't care about it. The more I hear about the Fantastic Four, I'm just like, no, I'll just wait and see on how they do things, because otherwise I'm going to have to roll a fatty and sit in the theater and get high and just hope that that's a better job than what they do. That's all I can say on it.
So. All right, there you go. I haven't seen the Amazing Spider-Man movie yet. Sue me.
How did you sell for no reason at all, dude?
Fuck Spider-Man. That's all right.
Oh, shit.
His movie's gonna be the worst of the summer. He watched.
You know how Spider-Man says everybody gets one? You just used yours up. Let me stop.
I love that joke in Family Guy. That's my
everybody gets one. Everybody gets tell one. Him, Peter. Thanks, apparently, Spider-Man. Everybody gets
one. He's gonna swing by and he goes, nope. Sorry.
He trashed my movie. Nope. I'm sorry. I love that joke. Everybody gets one. Tell him, Peter, right? Yeah, apparently everybody gets one.
Bingo.
And it's such like an older voice. Whatever, fuck it. Okay, moving on.
Right. So on the heels of news that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have been renewed for a second season. Woo!
Yay!
I don't care because I don't watch the show.
There came another piece of news that Marvel's Agent Carter has been greenlit. The show itself is starring Hayley Atwell, the spinoff of the first Captain America film, and also the Agent Carter short that was put out on DVD. I forget what movie it came
out. I think it was Thor the Dark World.
Was it Thor the Dark World?
It came out on Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3, there you go, yeah.
All right, cool. So, yeah, the basic synopsis, and I'm pulling this from a quote, basically, it's about her working for the SSR, the precursor to S.H.I.E.L.D., working under Howard Stark, because apparently they got him back, too. And pretty much just her adjusting to the world as it is and her being a woman in, you know.
Woman in a man's world.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's
that's
one woman. Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Oh, the world is waiting.
Does she twirl around with a golden lasso?
No.
Around with a briefcase.
She's got a Beretta. That would work. You know, there's that.
And a Beretta would work, too.
I think she's going to be a badass.
Hayley Atwell will be back and not in any of that old lady beauty-crushing makeup she wore in Winter Soldier, so that's a plus. And we'll get to see more of Peggy Carter kicking ass in 1946.
Yeah, Peggy!
Oh, is that the official timeline? 1946.
Yeah, that's what the actual press release says. 1946.
Okay. So, anything else, Ed?
Any more information? It's the first Marvel television show with two female executive producers running the show. So
that doesn't say a whole lot because it's like their second show.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, women in power. Yeah.
Yeah. See, it seems like a bigger deal
that.
Fucking Tumblr feminists, man. They just don't let anything go.
No, well, against the internet, social. You should see, off topic, Patton Oswalt troll Twitter. It's fucking hilarious. Patton Oswalt trolling Twitter is fucking hilarious. I'm starting to love Patton Oswalt more so than I ever thought I would.
Patton Oswalt is a brilliant man.
Yes, he is. All right.
And he was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But
he wasn't brilliant enough to survive it. Ho ho!
Way to spoil
Well. We talked about Ward for a second.
You're not watching it, so what are you worried?
I'm going to watch it eventually.
No,
I don't spoil Breaking Bad.
I don't watch Breaking Bad.
Game of Thrones.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Liar, you fucking watch Game of Thrones.
I don't. I've never watched an episode.
Dude.
Whatever. All right, anyways. Okay, one, I love period pieces. I love that this is taking in 1946, a.k.a. the beginning of my favorite time in American history. I love that time period just from an aesthetic standpoint, not necessarily for the social reasons, but just because everything looks so cool. And so just that sort of weird time in America where you have to adjust in a post-time era but also move into the future. So I'm very excited about that. I'm not expecting Mad Men. I'm not expecting that kind of sophistication or kind of drama because this is ABC and they need to keep it for everybody in mind, so I'm already expecting that. What I'm expecting is some cool, you know, somewhat TV-done science fiction stuff with cool gadgets and a lady kicking ass and taking names back in the early mid-40s. That's what I'm looking for. If you can deliver on that, possibly fight – I mean, they're not going to fight Hydra because at this point Hydra is disbanded and they are infiltrating the
OSS, actually. I think they're still the OSS.
The OSS.
I don't think they haven't changed over to S.H.I.E.L.D. yet.
Okay. Well, I know they weren't S.H.I.E.L.D., but, you know, I can't remember their original name. So, and I like that they got, you know, versus they, instead of getting Roger Sterling, who played, he wouldn't be older, I guess. But hopefully Roger Sterling comes back to replay Howard Stark before he dies. Iron Man 2.
What if they got Donald Sterling to take his role?
Well, then it wouldn't be as progressive as we like to think. It'd be less badass.
Well, he's racist, not sexist.
I don't want Gabriel Jones in my office. I don't want him on my mission. I don't want him on my helicarrier.
And who let that SOB Frenchie in here?
All I'm saying is, like, if you don't know Roger Sterling, who the character, that's not his actor's name, was Howard Stark in Iron Man 2. A completely different guy from Iron Man 1, by the way. So hopefully he'll cameo in later seasons. But honestly, the first thing I saw is like, this is going to cross over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in some fucking matter. Because Marvel, and they cannot help themselves, even when it comes to TV. And I don't mind that. I'm just saying I fully expect like some kind of time travel shenanigans or outright cold case.
Yeah, that'll probably be a bunch of people. They're not unreasonable, Ben. I mean, they're kind of unreasonable, but they're not totally unreasonable.
Well, I mean, like, I would rather, if they're going to do it, and I'm saying they will, but, you know, if they do it, I fully expect time travel. Give me, just do it. Just go for it. Time travel out the ass. Just do it. Just do
nah.
It. Do it. Y'all can talk.
Time travel would be a nice gimmick, but that would be something. If they introduce it, and we're talking,
aren't they doing all Deathlock? This is, aren't they doing Deathlock?
Yeah, not.
Yeah, they've done.
What you're thinking of? He's a very modern day interpreter.
Oh, so he's not from the future?
No he's not.
He's a very not that impressive version of Deathlock.
Well, that's a topic for when we do Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Year in Review coming up after the season.
Oh, fair enough. But no, I think that time travel is something that they should do in the movies. You know, I don't think they should do it on a TV show only because it will be underwhelmed and will probably be in some limited capacity where, well, it happened once, twice, pushing it, but we can never touch it again. And then next thing you know, some movie they do it. Because Kang shows up or some shit.
Oh.
You know? Yeah, okay. See, look at it. He's jizzing right now.
It's Kang. Yeah. It's Kang the freaking Conqueror. That's the only thing that would have made me more excited for well, no, correction. If Avengers
Immortus?
No, Immortus is cool. I'm just saying, if Avengers 3 is Kang instead of Thanos, I'd be fine. I'd be cool.
I can agree with that, actually.
Y'all talk about... I'm excited. I'll watch. I will actually watch, because by that point, I will be caught up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I will watch Kata. Kata! Do it. Go.
Kata!
I'm looking forward to Agent Carter. It's just because I loved the short that they did, and I loved her in Captain America, First Avenger, and she's hot, and she kicks ass. Not much more you have to really say than as long as they've got decent writing on it, I'll be happy with it, and I will figure out a way to watch it, whether I have to do it legally, illegally, or slightly in between. So,
yeah, you definitely don't want anybody who could get you that shit, right, Taser?
Hey!
Oh, I got more than just Taser as a source.
Oh, he's stepping out on you, Taser!
Hey!
Hey! Next.
Well, I look forward to it because I also enjoyed this short. Although, I'll be perfectly honest, I would rather see a show with Sif. You know, I really enjoyed Sif when she came on AOS, and I think she's a character that got underused in both Thor movies.
Yeah.
So I would absolutely love Sif and. Hell, Sif and the Warriors 3, and they're on some type of mighty quest in Man's World looking for the pieces of something that's supposed to blah, 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 blah. So they actually have to travel, and we get to watch them as they go looking about and dealing with people who are like, what the hell is wrong with these people? They're picking up cards. I would love that. That would be awesome. Peggy Carter... Well, I imagine this is just going to be, well, like was said before, there'll be super spy stuff with time-appropriate tech. I don't know. I just kind of have flashbacks of Van Helsing, you know, with James Bond circa 1882 tech, you know, which made me laugh and kind of made me cringe at the same time.
That movie was awesome. Don't you dare besmirch that movie's name any further.
It had good moments, but it also had issues.
No, I had issues.
Think less of that, more of Briscoe County Jr. with Bruce Campbell. That's
see,
one.
I could not, as much as I wanted to, I could not watch that show because it's a Western, and Westerns are evil and they suck.
Holy
except for Blazing Saddles.
Well, that's fucking amazing. So that's like not even.
Well, that was written by Mel Brooks, so I won't hate on that. Mm-hmm. But no, like I said, with Agent Carter, I'll watch it. You know, I'll give it a shot. But it's not. While I don't have any hate on it. It's not what I would, you know, wish for. But I did enjoy the short, so. I think I'll probably enjoy, you know, the TV show, however they decide to spin it out and what they decide to do. I think I'll enjoy it. I'll at least give it 3 episodes, you know, and make up my mind then.
I know I'm going to like Carter more because it's set back in a time in a classic time period. I will instantly like it more because of
I dig that because, you know, I understand what it's like to, you know, you like certain movies that take place during a particular time period.
I like period pieces.
No, I dig that. See, with me, it's, you know, old school kung fu movies because, you know, not the ones that take place in the modern day, but the ones that take place, like, during the Ming or the Manchu dynasty. That, you know, we're talking, like, what, 1500s and 1600s.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. Yeah, you know, now, ones that take place in the modern day, I'm like,
Yeah, which is why DC New Frontier is still my favorite DC book.
I can agree with that. It
captures that. You know, that era perfectly while also still acknowledge it's still playing to this that it's a superhero title, a superhero
great.
Book. So, anyways, y'all, any Jonathan, Brian, anything else?
I don't think Bradbury's spoken.
Bradbury.
Yo, I'm super duper excited. Like I said, I'm thinking something along the lines of what you call Briscoe County Jr., although it's slightly more advanced because that was a Western and this will be sort of set in the, well, not really modern world, the early modern world, I suppose, you know, the beginnings of that whole thing, but...
Last
yeah. The one thing I'm wondering is where it's going to be set. I'm pretty sure it'll be international at points, like on missions and stuff, but I'm wondering where they're going to base S.H.I.E.L.D. out of, because there ain't no Helicarrier yet. At least I don't think so. So whether
it'll be set New York.
Yeah, probably. Fuck. I'm sorry, Taser. It's just, I'm from Boston.
It hurts, don't it?
Have it based in Texas.
You get all the cool superheroes, you dick.
Yes, because New York is more important than Boston.
have it based in Texas. That's all I'm saying.
Nah, Ultron's gonna level Houston. It doesn't matter
it's
anyway.
It's Austin. He leveled Austin. Not. That's like saying Boston is the same as Foxborough, you dick.
Well, Foxborough is the home of the.
Oh
bats,
wait a minute, so. I forgot. Boston's the only metro area in your fucking state.
Whatever. Everything is bigger in Texas, even their morons.
I have to agree with that, but I'm also from Oklahoma, so I can't say.
Nice
job.
That's across the country, gut punch.
So, yeah, Agent Carter's got me excited. I'm wicked amped to see Haley Atwell. Again, she has a purty mouth, and...
Yeah,
that's about it. That's really all it's got going for right now.
Bri Bri that said that. That was not Taser.
That was Bri Bri that said that. Yeah, but I'm kind of in the same boat as Ben. The period piece immediately has me hooked. I'm a huge sucker for that, historical settings. And also, like I said, Haley Atwell is just balls out amazing. Oh, my God.
She's beautiful. She's really
She cool. is gorgeous. So that instantly has me on board. Plus, the possibility of... What do you call it? What's the term for whatever the crossover? You know, a la crossover between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and that shit. So that has me excited, and I'll be tuning in, no doubt. If they create like a Marvel power block, I'm definitely tuning in for at least, you know, 2-hour deal a night. So I am on board. Sign me up. Take my money. Show me Haley Atwell in some scantily clad 1940s lingerie. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
See her legs. Actually, yeah, that's a good point. We get to see her legs because, you know, women don't wear skirts nowadays. Good point.
Mm-hmm. All right,
yeah,
John.
Good point.
John.
Yeah, buddy.
I already stated. Oh,
okay, so there you go. Do we have? And we have one more piece of news concerning everybody's favorite regenerative mutant, Bri, hit us on some news.
Yes. Well, for the vast majority, most of your Wolverine news came with a sucker punch saying Hugh Jackman being like, "I'm probably gonna be done with Wolverine after the next movie or two," and that's fine. What you probably don't know, or you probably do, because let's face it, you're on a comic book message board full of hardcore fanboys listening to a podcast devoted entirely to Marvel, is that Marvel is going to kill off Wolverine. That's right, everybody. Kicking off in September, launching weekly against DC Comics Futures End.
Wait, weekly?
Yeah, it's going to be going weekly in September.
Wait, oh, so only for that 1 month?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, read me the details on who's doing the art.
I know it's Charles Soule doing the writing. Paul Cornell bowed out because his heart wasn't in it, quote-unquote. So, that being said... And I think Steve McNiven is the man behind the art on this one.
He's going to do all four issues?
I'm pretty sure that's what it's saying.
Yes.
All right, thank you for clearing. Miller goes my laptop. Thank you.
What just in his pants. Steve,
what just happened?
It's Steve fucking McNiven doing four issues in a row? And they're going to be on time?
Who's Steve McNiven?
He's the artist. He's a fantastic artist. I know you don't.
He did Civil Wars art, Old Man Logan. He did.
He was recently Uncanny Avengers recently.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a really good artist.
Oh,
he's
I
really
love
pretty.
Steve McNiven. He's so okay. fucking good.
Yeah, but as a prelude to that, they'll be launching the Wolverine event, 3 Months to Die, which is going to be over in Paul Cornell's ongoing Wolverine series right now. But yeah. So after robbing him of his healing factor, they're going to kill off Wolverine in September, or sometime around there.
You know what? I don't care. I don't care who's
I know who else doesn't care. Taser! Let it rip, buddy!
Hold on. Bossman speaking. It's Steve McNiven, man. I'm on board just because he's on board. Let's do it! And plus, it's Wolverine. I like Wolverine. So let's do this. Yes. That's all I have to say.
If he draws the death of Wolverine the same way he drew him slaughtering the X-Men and Old Man Logan.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. Oh,
my lord, I would take my money now. Oh, my
Shut
God.
Shut up and take my money.
Exactly. I know someone who doesn't like this particular iteration of Wolverine, though, and would probably be happy to see him die. Taser.
Yeah. Yeah. All I can say is this. Okay, A, Logan's actually died before. B, he won't be gone for long.
He hasn't been dead, drawn by Steve McNiven.
I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Steve McNiven did not draw him expiring his life forces.
Yes.
So whatever.
It is less.
It is
less. Well, to you guys who want McNiven, I remember Civil War. Civil War was actually, you know, pretty decent art, but it, you know, wasn't something that I had would kneel at an altar for.
Have you ever seen Ben Foster die so pretty before? I think he's smoking through his chest.
Or that was freaking hilarious.
Captain America's face when Punisher comes in with Spidey, and he's just.
Yeah, better yet, Captain America going all apeshit on Butter. She's like, you don't belong. He's like, but Cap, it's you. I want to love you, man.
By the way, when did Wolverine die before? Did I miss that? When did that happen?
Several fucking times.
Several times.
He's died in his own book quite a few times. I think three at this point.
Yeah, one within the past,
why
like, 6 years.
Why made a bigger deal of?
Nah, because it wasn't Steve fucking McNiven, that's why.
Well, and I mean, besides that.
I love that that's my go-to thing to make it important. It's Steve fucking McNiven. That's
he
my...
died and was brought back by the Hand, and they turned him into, like, you know,
that was Wolverine Enemy of the State. That's what you're thinking of.
Like I said. So, if anything, this is just going to be a really long story entailing how he dies. Did they say how long the book will be down for? Because you know he's not gone forever.
They did not say that. No, they're still just teasing him dying, so they haven't
gone
that.
Well, he's not going to be gone forever because Wolverine is in too many things. The character makes too much money. You know, whatever story that they're going to get out of this will run. I don't think it'll last a year.
Bet you when he comes back, he'll look more like the actor they picked to replace Hugh Jackman.
They already drew him to look like Hugh Jackman in some places anyway, so it doesn't fucking
matter. Hey, I've seen some art that had him look like freaking Mel Gibson, because that's who they wanted him to play the first time.
Oh, God, really?
I could see that. When you look at it, you can see it.
No.
You know? Yes.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Especially with talking young Mel Gibson circa Lethal Weapon 1, definitely could play Wolverine. Think about it. Anyway, I'm not enthusiastic for this because while I am so underwhelmed and not impressed with the stuff that's come out from Wolverine of the last couple of years, especially Wolverine and the X-Men, oh my God, the only thing I can hope for is that when they do bring him back, they bring back the badass. And I know that's not going to happen because that's not what they want to put forward. You know, Wolverine... he's now the representative for Xavier's dream, like it or not. And as atrocious as that is, that Marvel is likely going to stick with that. So after he's on his vacation, okay, I mean, Charles Xavier will be gone longer than him, okay? Hal Kurt will have been gone longer than him.
Well, yeah, but that's because Xavier can get more shit done dead than alive.
Wolverine, you know, bigger. Let's say he's a bigger draw out of those two.
That's true. Correct. You're 100% correct. But I'm just saying, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, he's not
the
going to be
going for... being drawn by fucking McNiven. That's the big deal here.
Right. I'm sorry. I don't know what I was
Look,
thinking.
That's why I'm not harping on the death or, like, it's important or any of that storytelical bullshit.
Yes, the art, man. It's all about the art.
It's all about the art, yeah.
I'll say this.
Peter Parker will have been gone for longer than him.
Oh.
Yeah. Dropping the bets now.
And technically, Peter Parker didn't die. So, yeah. I'm dropping that one, too.
All right. Y'all want anything to say about this?
Well, I'm...
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry.
Damn it!
I'm sorry. I'm looking at pics of Haley Atwell because that shows you how much of a fuck I give about Wolverine dying. I got five fucks shit to the wind on that. I really don't
nice.
Care.
Nice. Well,
I'm sorry. When I heard they were going to kill him off, I was like, oh, and he'll be popping back up in a month later. Big fucking deal. He's died, you know, several times. I remember, hell, he got blasted by a Sentinel and completely down to the bone. You know, of course, I just reread Days of Future Past, so that's
Didn't
why.
Did he regenerate from his own atom once before?
Yes, he did, after
that
he fought
was
new...
due to a magic gem.
That's bullshit. No. Only Lobo can do that.
Fuck Lobo, seriously.
And Deadpool.
Deadpool
no,
too.
No, well, if you decapitate Deadpool, you figure so.
Deadpool got liquidated.
Hey, I'm just saying there's more than one way to...
In a Wolverine?
Actually, yes, that actually works pretty well. Let's go with that. There's more than one way to skin a Wolverine, folks.
Yeah, I'd rather be skinning. Well, no, I won't say that. Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, like I said, when I heard they were going to kill him off, I was just like, really? I mean, he's too obvious, too big of a draw for Marvel. And unless you're bringing back, you know, when he comes back, you're bringing back the, you know, like you said, Berserker Fury, badass Wolverine from back in the day. What's the fucking point? I mean,
it's drawn
I
by
understand.
Steve fucking McNiven.
I don't care if it's drawn what's by fucking point? Alan Davis or Walter
Why
Simonson.
Why you no understand? Simonson!
No, it's like this.
You would fucking... What?
No, even if Simonson was drawing it, I'd be like, fuck
liar,
this.
Liar!
Or Ramirez okay, Jr. Or Frank only, Miller. Drawn by only, Frank Miller.
Frank Miller should totally do this. Oh my god. That would make me buy 10 copies of each.
Only way I would actually give a crap about this if it was drawn if it was drawn by John Byrne.
Oh hell yes,
that would be
cool.
Right.
I would actually do that if it was John.
Too bad
Byrne.
He has a volatile relationship with Marvel, so that shit. Won't
oh no shit.
He has a volatile relationship with every fucking body.
Well, not at IDW. They keep publishing his stuff.
Yeah, I don't know why I've read some of that, and I'm like, what the hell?
It's okay.
But anyway, it's just he needs
does
to get on.
Interesting stories. It's just you know behind the scenes he's. Problematic.
Mm-hmm. He's better at it than Chris Claremont. But anyway, I'm very underwhelmed by it. It just that's all I can say on it. We'll just leave it at that.
All right, Bri.
Before Bri comes in, I'll say this: Johnny Storm will have been dead longer than Wolverine. What? What?
Bri, go ahead.
Can I go now?
Yes.
No.
No. Okay. No, let's see. I don't know. I mean, Wolverine's always been very hot and cold with me. This whole new direction with him is interesting. I'm not like Taser. I don't immediately hate it because I don't subscribe to the belief that Wolverine just needs to be a mindless killing machine. Even though that is what he's best at and what he's done for most of his life, I believe a person could change. And I think him actually changing his ways is a good example of Xavier's dream having come forward. So that being
he's
said...
He's no longer the best he is at what he does. That's the problem.
Well, he doesn't do what he does anymore, so it's kind of...
Just,
it's kind of a moot point, but regardless of that, I suppose... Steve McNiven's drawing it, man. Of course I'm going to fucking buy the series. And Charles Soule, he might have me on the hook. You know, he's hot or cold, same as Wolverine's with me. We'll see where it goes. But suffice to say, I am curious to see how he dies. And I'm definitely going to watch it happen because goddamn Steve McNiven. And that is that mic drop end of story.
Hell fucking yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the main event of the evening. It is time once again for another Marvel event to change the world. Are you ready?
Yay.
Comic fans, are you ready? Well, then for the five in attendance, and the four of you listening at home, ladies and gentlemen, Let's get ready to sin. Original Sin Number 1 is the book of the week. By the way,
you should add in the music for that. That would be funny.
If I can find it, we'll see. Okay, anyways, Original Sin, the latest Marvel event.
AKA Nick fucking Fury's back.
Yes. Original Sin number 1, this time, because people care, written by Jason Aaron, this time done by the wonderful Mike Diodato, and colors by Frank Martin, because people like colors.
Oh, that's so pretty.
So one, this is the first time I've seen Diodato in so long, and oh my, again, he's Mike fucking Diodato.
Hell yes!
I really enjoyed this opening story, this opening act. One, I wonder how much that double page splash of the Avengers standing around the bloodied face of the Watcher cost. Because that was death done beautifully. It just looks so gruesome and grisly, but yet it's just so pretty to look at. So basically, Watcher gets his eyes poked out. They need to find the culprit, and they dispatch several teams. For some reason, Scott Lang apparently is back as Ant-Man again. I had no – when did this happen? Anybody know?
I want to say the end of Children's Crusade, but okay. I can't – oh, no, FF, back when he relaunched.
That's right. That's
girl
right.
In the suit who was in Ben Grimm. Yeah.
That's right. Oh, I've missed her so much.
No one misses her.
Darla was awesome. Leave her alone. And you know
what?
Yeah,
they canceled that book.
Yeah, well, they canceled it for they ended it for James Robinson's book. So, and also, I love another aspect I love of this issue is that the Punisher will be teaming up with Dr. Fucking Strange.
They must have got your fan mail or something.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like two characters, who are literally on the polar opposites of the spectrum, coming together. And I just love that. That Frank Castle threatens to shoot off his kneecaps. It's like he's not afraid. Even though he's the Sorcerer Supreme, he's not afraid to take it to Doctor Strange, even though Doctor Strange would probably stop him like nothing. So they dispatch. So we find out the Watcher's been murdered. We don't know how. We don't know who's done it. We just know it's somebody has murdered and stolen his eyes. They are right now on a race to look for some clues, basically opening up. Basically like a bigger budget Watchmen. Watchmen, sort of like a death happens and it affects everything and slowly.
Who killed the comedian?
Well, even
who killed the Watcher. And did he try to rape a Golden Age heroine? I've been watching you for some time now.
That's the original sin. That's the original sin. We get a mindless one that shows up, which I was like, huh. I haven't seen those.
I
know. We haven't seen one of those. We see a great action sequence of Spider-Man and Ben Grimm taking this one out. Him basically going mad with scene. Nick Fury is in charge. And so at the end of the issue basically concludes with it looks like two cohorts who you can't make out who they are. They have several more mindless ones with them who it looks like they're experimenting with. Over the Watcher's eyes, and you can't see who they are, but it's not our eyes I'm most interested in opening. So yeah, Original Sin number 1. This was an interesting grab. It to me, it read perfectly like a great opening to a fantastic murder mystery, like whodunit, and also the aspect of like, well, what is the Watcher? What has the Watcher been seeing all these years? I love the opening with Nick Fury, Wolverine, Captain America, and Black Widow at the diner, sort of chastising Captain America for his Weight Watcher kind of mentality. I thought that was funny. So
very great. Quentin Tarantino.
I don't know.
No, Philistine. Just go ahead.
I don't like his movies.
Philistine.
Also, who was Black Panther talking to?
I am not sure.
Because I thought that was Fury. But
no,
then
they wouldn't have put him in shadow like that.
Yeah, so I'm like, because it's somebody, because Black Panther never knows him clearly. At least by the judging how it was. But he talks about the original sin. So clearly Black Panther knows who this person is. But we don't know if this person's connected to the Watcher's death. But just
I think he is, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll explain when I talk.
So, yeah, this was an interesting murder mystery jump. Winter Soldier's in this apparently. You know, I love the interactions with all this. It's putting characters together that aren't usually together sometimes. Doctor Strange and Punisher, like, that's just an odd fucking combination. But I give it a solid start. I give it a 3 out of 5. It was good. It got me interested in to what it's going on. I like that Nick Fury is leading the investigation of this. But yeah, Taser, I'm curious to see who you think that was and what he has to do with the Watcher, and what you thought of the issue.
I thought it was actually pretty interesting. I was a bit disappointed that he gets caught up in an explosion that takes out that little, you know, bulby part of his tower, and then when the Avengers find him, you know, he's got, you know, a gouged out forehead and his eyes are missing, you know, something like that. I would have expected something. We're talking a Watcher here, you know, we're talking, he's cosmic level, so that kind of explosion shouldn't have done much, you know, not based on what I've seen Watchers go through and what I've seen them capable of, but all we saw was the explosion, so there was more to it than that. I can let it go for now. How we get intro to Cap, Fury, Logan, and Black Widow, and they're sitting there and they're talking about, you know, the times where they had like the best steaks ever, and you know, Nick shuts all of them down when he talks about how, yeah, we were fighting over here and we this cow comes onto the field and, you know, we fought the Nazis for the cow and then we slew the cow and we hadn't had food for like weeks, so that was the best cow ever. I love watching stories like that because that reminds me of the poker games, you know? Mm-hmm. The call for them to show up on the moon, that's still kind of odd to me. You know, it's like, you know, why? You know, I don't know. But, you know, I think that was what? Sword had gotten that call or whatever?
Yeah.
All right, so...
Well, it's the Avengers are, like, primary, you know, like, they're the first line of defense, so they're going to call the Avengers because, I don't know, maybe the like, even though he doesn't know them personally, he still has a history with these guys. That's how I see it.
Yeah, see, that's... I just thought it was weird that, you know, they would get the call, but, you know, fine. Also, I would have expected to see, you know, Reed at least come in on this, the first part,
yeah,
because
you would think, yeah,
it you know, really. But again, I'll leave that alone. Art wise, Diodato nails just about everything he does. You know, I don't think I've ever hated anything that he's done, and I've watched Diodato ever since he did Wonder Woman back in the '90s. Story wise, by who did the book?
Jason Aaron.
Thank you. sorry. It holds together, and I can honestly say I was suitably entertained. You know, I'm intrigued to find out what these investigative parties dig up, and going into that, the mysterious figure that T'Challa talks to. Notice. When we see him and he's seated in front of a terminal of some sort of laptop or whatever, and he's holding green crystals, those look like the things that Black Widow dug out of the Watcher's forehead and Cap had in his hands. Because you see, it's a bag of a bunch of green crystalline fragments. I'm thinking those two are linked. All right. I don't know if that guy exactly had anything to do with it, but I think somehow they're connected. I don't know exactly in what fashion. I also think it's the reason why the Watcher died. I think that's actually kind of lame. You know, he gets his, you know, he gets one in the head, they steal his eyes, and they're going to use it to educate mindless ones?
Well, we don't know the plot.
Yeah. Which is fine. Agreed.
Yeah.
But I also... I don't know. They're really going to have to sell me on how anybody could sneak into the Watcher's realm, you know, without him knowing it until they make themselves known. you know, off him with a, you know, one to the dome, and then managed to get out of Dodge while also making off with the fucking ultimate nullifier. I had to admit, seeing a mindless moment with an ultimate nullifier, I was oh no.
That would
this is fucking hilarious. You know. But I knew that would end the way it did. Not because, well, if he clicked it, that would be the end of everything. But I know that, you know, if you, you know, any just about anybody uses the ultimate nullifier, yeah, they get end them, they end themselves. So that wasn't too much of a suspenseful moment. I really have to see what happens with him being dead. And I will say that because Uatu's dead, one thing didn't happen that I expected to happen. And it might not happen here, it might happen in the next one, but I'm going to bet it doesn't happen, is that the Watchers en masse show up. Because we've seen a Watcher die before. That Rogue Watcher, Aaron, killed one. And when he killed one, all of them showed up. I mean, it was like Watchers from all over the universe. They showed up because they knew a Watcher had died. So I want to see if that actually happens here. I don't think it will. Because I think Aaron will probably just go, yeah, whatever, and ignore it. And because, well, I guess because I have a long memory in regards to stuff like this, it's probably going to bother me a bit. But if he keeps the story interesting like this one is, I don't think I'll have that great of a problem with it. I think I can probably let it ride. This was actually a pretty good story. It was worth it. I say pick it up.
John.
Yeah, I'm kind of flipping through it right now, and I'm like, holy shit. It's a lot better than I was expecting so far. All I'm going to say is, if this is what I'm seeing and it is as good as it's going to be, I'm going to be on for at least the next couple of issues just to see what they go with. That the Watcher being, how do I say this, almost, you know, de-eyeballed and hole in the head, that just, ouch. And that's about as far as I've gotten, but man, and from what you're all telling me, it's going to sound like it's going to be a good read. So, damn.
Bye-bye.
Anything where Nick Fury is front and center immediately has my attention. The fact that this was written by Jason Aaron and illustrated by Diodato, which I had no idea about. I didn't know he was doing the art for this. That was a pleasant surprise for me. I was stoked when I opened the book. I'm like, this art looks familiar. It's Diodato! Yeah, so that had me really excited. I will say that initially I had thought that Nick might have, you know, had some knowledge, if not a direct hand, in what happened to Uatu. But the way he goes about analyzing the crime scene and such, I'm not sure I believe it. And I did read something else, though, that sort of intrigued me, which is, I guess I shouldn't get into that just yet, but suffice to say that I am intrigued as to who could have possibly killed the Watcher. The teams that Fury was able to collect, all the favors he called in and stuff, it's really just a show of power. Just the people who he has, we're like, okay, look, you owe me one. Come here and help. He has all these people lined up, ready and willing to help give him a hand. So that's really cool. The figure that spoke to T'Challa, I had also thought it was... I thought it was Nick Fury at first, but now I'm not so certain.
T'Challa knows something.
I'm sure.
He knows everything.
He's Batman. Oh my god, he's Black Batman.
It's Batman.
He's Batwing.
He's Black Man.
I was gonna say he's Batman.
Na 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 Black Man.
All he needs to do is drop Panther and add Man. You got it.
I suppose so. Anyway, it's a little thing to cap off my review, which wasn't really expansive, but what are you going to do? It's a setup issue. I had read one we had spoke about a while back about the possibility of them killing off Nick Fury, I believe, around the time of this miniseries, given the fact that he has risen back to prominence ever since his son... took over as Nick Fury Jr., I suppose it is.
Fury!
Well, yeah, I wasn't going to say that, but what he said. Anyway, I initially thought that maybe they would kill him off during this, and that's still in the back of my mind, a fear of what's going to happen to Nick Fury come the end of this series, because he was in Battle Scars, Vane disappeared, and now he's back all of a sudden. So I'm a little concerned as to what might happen to him, but I also read an intriguing piece of fanboy-authored stuff, which theorized that, and it's totally ridiculous, too, but they were saying that maybe Nick Fury becomes the new Watcher. Which,
how?
I know. That's what really got me. I'm like, that's totally ridiculous. Like, I don't see how that could happen. But at the same time, if there's anyone out there who could keep every dirty secret in the Marvel Universe, I don't think there's anyone better than Nick Fury. And, you know, but yeah,
he
the whole matter
on everybody, whether you know it or not.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he's not obviously he's not a Watcher.
Oh my God, he is Batman. Wait, what?
I'm just thinking maybe he finds that Uatu eyeball and just sort of like forces it back into his empty eye socket and just kind of like, you know, that whole shtick.
Oh, so he's like holding the powers in his eyeballs?
Pretty much, yeah. Or like those pirates from the Pirates of the Caribbean flick where his eye keeps popping out. He's like, oh, I can't see. but no, seeing if you're become a Watcher would be a fucking awesome thing to see, because that would be so much better than just killing him. You could sequester him and have him actually doing something as opposed to killing him off. But that's
you for even suggesting this, but okay.
That's neither here nor there at this point. Anyway, I'm stoked Fury's back. I'm intrigued by the story. I'm super excited. I give it a 4 out of 5. It's a great warm-up issue. I love it.
If that happens, I'm going to travel to Boston. I will personally...
Which part? Fury dying or becoming a Watcher?
Becoming a Watcher. I will personally fly to Boston, buy us both tickets to Red Sox game, proceed to kick your ass during the seventh inning stretch, kick your ass in the seventh inning stretch, then throw you around Yastrzemski's pole. Embarrassing you forever.
I think he's serious this time.
You're not a fan. I take it you're not a fan of the idea.
No, he's not that. Okay, look.
Well, he's not Nick Fury anymore. They got Tyrion Old Jackson for that.
At least making him a Watcher doesn't fight. That's like this, like putting Hal Jordan as a Spectre. Oh wait, they did that and it was fucking stupid. Okay,
I actually liked Hal Jordan.
Yeah, but how long? Look at how long he was Spectre.
It still happened.
All right,
and it still was a time. It was a dark time. Look, all I'm saying is Nick Fury. Nick Fury, just you know what? I'll say this: just if you're gonna do that, and this is all speculation because they're not gonna do that, but I would rather they just fucking kill him before making him a cosmic entity. Fuck that. He's not that. He's a chain-smoking, hard son of a bitch from World War II who's still alive.
Who isn't doing what he does anymore. His son is doing that now.
At least he's in the sidewalk and people can pull him out whenever they want. All right?
Oh, yeah.
Versus being the Watcher and he always has to go.
It's not a matter of convenience, okay? He should either be a cornerstone character or he shouldn't be there, period. So maybe you're right. Maybe you should just kill him off. But you know what? I don't want him dead.
I don't want him to be a Watcher either because that makes no sense.
I don't know.
Hold on. Bri, you just got after me for, you know, thinking that Wolverine couldn't change. Now, here we go. We have Nick Fury, whose role in life has changed, and you're saying, well, they either should keep him the same or they should
do something else,
but...
Okay, look, there's a difference between changing your goals in life and being totally irrelevant, okay? Nick Fury...
Who's to say he's irrelevant?
He hasn't done anything since Battle Scars.
Which was how long ago Marvel time? It could have been 2 weeks ago.
Back in Fear itself. No, comics time is rubbery, and you know it.
Wait. Hold on. Fear itself, he was in Winter Soldier, and he got put in a coma by Natasha. And that's actually the last time I saw him, and then Natasha got her mind wiped, and then Winter Soldier continued on without her, and then I left it alone. This is actually the first time I'm seeing him since that, but he was still doing S.H.I.E.L.D.-ish stuff.
That's not... No, he's not. He's just sort of out in the ether doing nothing, okay? What ended up happening, and you know it as well as I do, is they took this black kid and they made him Samuel L. Jackson Lightning Fury. They sort of did a whole passing the torch thing, which was just a forced, contrite story point. And then
I'm not going to disagree with you.
We all hate Blurry.
I'm not disagreeing with you at all.
We hate
you're 100% right about how they're trying to make the switch with Fury, and I don't agree with it either. However, what I'm saying is, just because he's not doing the big super secret, you know, spy safety guy right now, doesn't mean he can't move on to something else. You know, he's taking a break.
He deserves it.
He's earned his vacation.
They've literally made him mortal. They're lining him up to be killed. That is what they are doing.
I agree with you there. I think that's why he's being used here, because I think it's going. I think this will probably be the story where they get rid of him.
I disagree.
No, I think he's going to end up going out cosmically. Okay. But he will probably.
You know what?
If it ends, like Hawkeye, not like this, like ends, this.
So Hawkeye was stupid and useless.
Here's just how it should end. If Nick Fury is going to die, I want his body literally become a constellation in the stars as a remembrance of how badass he was.
Yes. Wow, how much do you want to suck his dick?
He's Nick fucking Fury.
Oh, okay, that says it all right there.
Exactly, that says it all.
Look, as much as I like Nick Fury, A, because he's a legacy character, B, because his character is actually really solid for a man, I'm not going to say that. But
well, if you're
going to
go out cosmically,
say,
why not end it like that?
Because there's no need for them to go that far. All I'm saying is, if you're going to kill him off, at least do something that's decent for the character. Like what they did with Ted Knight over in DC. Ted Knight went out saving everybody, and he was also dying at the same time, but he saved everybody and blew up, blah, blah, blah. Or like Executioner, you know, a good hero death. Mm-hmm. That, you know, something decent. You know, I don't need a new son to be born where Nick Fury dies. That's a little much, but something respectful.
I never said son. I just said, like, you know, constellation of the stars. That, you know, like,
well, what do you think a constellation's made out of, man?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a sun. I mean, like, you know how, like,
constellation's made out of stars.
You see the fucking Little Dipper. You would see Nick Fury's face.
Which is a star.
It's not a sun.
Oh, snap. Astrology 5.
What do you think the constellations are made out of, man? Dude.
Gases? Hot gases? In a thing?
No, hot gases is me after chili.
Oh, Jesus.
You need to stop going to Oliver Queen's house. All right. Okay.
Good one.
All right. So let's get on to individual reviews. And I'm going to be reviewing the book that basically was made for me, Uncanny Avengers Annual. This is done by Rick Remender, and art by Paul Renaud. I don't know how to say
You better that. Hey, listen. What? We don't get to do voices for Avengers High School. I'm going to be so pissed.
What do you mean? I didn't even if you have
do
voices,
voices.
I don't
son
have
of a
voices.
Bitch.
If you have
voices, yes you do.
I don't have voices. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Damn, if you don't do at least a Valley Girl type thing for
I don't
for
have
Rhonda
whatever.
And
I'm not
Shanty.
Doing voices. Boss Man putting his foot down. Okay.
Oh my
so
God.
This is
Boss
if you
Man's
wanted,
up.
If you've heard me say how much I love Uncanny Avengers, but you're like you don't want to buy the trades, you don't want to buy the issues, this is a perfect little book on why this is a perfect little book that actually has them working together as a team. In a team setting, fighting against a common throw. Apparently, Mojo has a board of directors. I don't know when that happened, but that's hilarious. And
that
he is in danger of being evicted because of his Devil Dinosaurs Power Pack Antique Roadshow. That wasn't the show he was pitched, and of course it failed, and they blamed it on him. So now it looks like they want to have Mojo do something. Like, Mojo has to come up with his next big hit, otherwise he's going to be done with. So he comes up with Avengers of the Supernatural, starring Doctor Strange, Aunt Manphibian, Zatanna, Blade, Man-Thing, Giant-Sized Man-Thing, and Ghost Rider Johnny Blaze. And funny enough, you know how we make of, like, and Remender does a great job of, you know, where, like, us fans think, like, they ask, like, well, where's can we get Wolverine there? What about zombies? Can you put that in there? How about some real Avengers? People seem to like those guys. And then, of course, you have the one person that asks, can they be relatable? Maybe high school kids and jocks, geeks and rockers? And then, like, somebody asked, can you aim for a sci-fi horror superhero matchup? All very hot right now. Sort of basically.
Sounds like the boardroom at CW.
Yeah, basically, like, that's what it is. It's basically the boardroom for you know, what fans thinks what fans thinks happens behind closed doors. You know, so can you do this? Can you do that? So Mojo promises to deliver, and we cut to a pool party where between some of the Uncanny Avengers with Rogue, Janet, and what's it? Havoc. Meanwhile, you have some sexual tension between Wonder Man and Scarlet Witch. Apparently, Thor and Wolverine are drinking buddies, and apparently, every time they fight, in a sense, Wolverine knocks over Captain America while he's making his pull shot. So what does Thor do? He overreacts, grabs Logan by the shirt, and just places him headfirst into the ceiling. Just plants him there. And he also calls, for some reason, Sunfire a lady. For no reason.
Wow.
He's drunk, so I only imagine that's why he does it. Because he basically, on his way to attack Wolverine, he goes, please, held this young lady. And so Shiro basically hands back his ale, but he heats it up. So Thor sort of coughs it up because of the intense heat. So I thought that was funny. So little comedy humor. Johnny Blaze attacks, and you get a great action sequence. Great, 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 great looking pages. And then all of a sudden, the Avengers of the Supernatural show up, saying they're tired of taking their shit and that they're tired of being in the dark for so long. Yada, yada, yada. Cliche moments. Loving seeing these Supernatural characters take on the Avengers. Little do they all know, they get all captured, and we are introduced to possibly the greatest thing that has ever been created in Mojo Plan M Productions presents Martian Transylvania Superhero Mutant Monster High School, starring Captain America, Doctor Strange, Rogue, Havoc, Sunfire, Man-Thing, Ghost Rider, Manphibian, Scarlet Witch, Wonder Man, Blade, Wolverine, Wasp, Thor, and featuring Satana, the Succubus. So, this whole little mini segment is basically like a high school musical, not high school musical, but like a high school teen drama, but starring the Uncanny Avengers. So you have Captain America and Thor as the typical jocks. You have Scarlet Witch and Janet as the, you know, the sexy cheerleaders who are like, ugh, I'm too good for you. You have the mutants as the punk rockers, as the punkers in the back. Havoc has emo hair. Wolverine looks like James Dean a little bit. Havoc is threatened by Havoc. So and Wonder Man is being controlled because he's writing the script for all this. So you have Satana go visit the Sanctum Sanctorum, and in there you find that apparently Doctor Strange, Manphibian, Blade, and Satana all play D&D. And it's fucking hilarious. Like, Manphibian literally has bifocals on. Satana is that one hot chick, that one girl that every D&D group has, you know. So she's there. And so basically she goes to them because she says, I'm in love with Johnny Blaze, and, you know, but you can't love him. He's a living curse. It's like, but I love him. And so in order to spice up the drama, they have it written to where that, you know, she's in love with Johnny, but that before even doing anything with him, that she's pregnant with his child already, you know, playing up the teenage drama. But unfortunately, this sets off the spirit of vengeance himself, and of basically the idea of the Spawn, you know, like that couldn't happen. You can't let that happen. And so that snaps them all back into place, leading to a climactic fight against Mojo, and then eventually take down Ghost Rider himself. They even said, like, well, should we just leave? I mean, it's just Mojo. Do we really have to be here? Nah, I mean, we kind of have to do this, you know. So they take him out. It was really great fun. They eventually just leave Johnny. The they in a way to stop him, Rogue manages to touch him and absorb his powers, which I wasn't sure she could do that, but I'm going to let it slide because fuck it, let's do this. And so she eventually she begs Johnny Blaze to take the power, and he contemplates, like, you know, I could easily just walk away, but he doesn't. It's his curse. It's what he has to do. And so the final page is sort of basically, you know, it's like the commentary on the superhero genre. I'm going to read it all, so be prepared. Wait, so is that it? Is it over? Sir, I don't understand any of this. A bunch of heroes fought each other. They teamed up to fight a greater fight, and then they defeated the threat. It just ends? Audiences want a story that has consequences. The world changed in a new, exciting, and lasting way. This suit Mojo cooked up, it feels totally unimportant. Was there any point at all? Is this a story about how a committee can overcomplicate things? No. It left that thread behind in the first act. It's merely sloppy and derivative. In the end, Mojo gave us nothing more than a colorful distraction. This sounds like a classic excuse for directionless writing by P.S. Blowhard. Conversely, following a tight, structured foundation can be formulaic. At least Mojo's new shown doesn't feel unoriginal. Not on the surface, perhaps. Maybe we shouldn't look too closely. Good or bad, pointing or meandering, one way or another, it's done. Yes, we'll get on the horn and call the critics. We'll leave it up to them to decipher. So sort of it basically commenting on, you know, well, the fans and, you know, that sort of thing. This issue, Brian, you read this?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was fucking great, wasn't it?
You forgot the part where they all pushed Johnny Blaze into the pool and then they all dove in like it was the end of some fucking after school special.
Yeah, that was great, yeah.
That was lame.
It was awesome.
Lame.
This is the whole issue was
lame.
Oh, shut up. Great. I want this. I want more of this. Seriously, if you just flip through in the store, the best part of the book to me was the Avengers high school thing, and just seeing all the stereotypes, seeing, you know, the supernatural characters related to D&D was just fucking great. It was funny.
Blade is the funniest looking nerd.
Yeah, he is.
He looks like Urkel.
I think that was the point. Like, he literally looks like Urkel. He has suspenders on.
I'm okay with that, though.
Apparently, Manfemian's name is called Glavin, apparently. I just loved it, and I loved, you know, it was great. I want more of this. I want more of this. I give it a 5 out of 5. That book was made for me. I almost didn't pick it up. I'm glad I did.
How could you?
I don't know. I had a lot of books, and it was like,
how could you?
It was the annual. All right, John, you're up next.
Okay. Hear me?
Hey, John, you sound different.
Yeah, I'm on a different connection right at the moment.
No way.
I'm having to gargle my voice.
Whoa.
Hello. Go ahead and let Brian go for it real quick. I'm still getting this thing hooked up. It's being stupid.
Brian, take it away.
All right. I decided to do She-Hulk number 4, a.k.a. Ally McBeal. Well, sort of Ally McBeal. It was a very entertaining issue, if I do say so myself. So we pick up from the last issue wherein Jennifer Walters was advocating for Kristoff, Dr. Doom's son. And Kristoff Menard wanted to defect to America because he couldn't live his life under his father's imperialist regime. However, at the end of the issue, when he'd been granted political asylum as a refugee, Dr. Doom literally burst in through the roof, grabbed his son, and zipped right out again without anybody batting an eye, really, except for Jennifer Walters, who was like, is anybody going to stop this? Well, it's Dr. Doom. What are we supposed to do? Fair point. But she's conflicted over it, and that carries over into the beginning of this issue, wherein deciding she needs a fresh perspective, an opinion from another person in her unique position, she travels to San Francisco and meets up with Matt Murdock, a.k.a. Daredevil, a.k.a. the other superhero lawyer, a.k.a. the one person she's never met in a courtroom, and they probably should get on that. They poke fun at it in this issue. Marvel, get on that shit. Anyway, so she goes to Matt and is kind of like, what do I do? I mean, like, do I go after him? Do I just let it simmer? What do I do? And so Matt Murdock relates a tale about when he was representing Felicia Hardy, and the whole thing was a frame job, but the legal system was sort of against her. So him and Spidey busted into prison and freed them themselves. So, yeah, sort of like take from that what you will, you know, follow what you think you think is right and what you can live with. But before she goes, they just go out for a night in the town fighting crime together, which is awesome. And then, of course, they poke fun at the fact that, hey, how come we've never run into each other in court before? And She-Hulk kind of just goes, a lot of lawyers out there. They'll probably have one day, but just not yet. He's like, oh, okay, well, see you then. And they just part ways. That's about halfway through the issue. And so she procures a fake ID and travels to Latveria, wherein she goes all Mission Impossible, and then promptly shatters any illusion of self she had by literally busting through a wall in Dr. Doom's castle, shattering all the windows, and wrecking all his Doom bots. And then what happens is, as she's fighting off the Doom bots, and she almost clears the room, a giant metal hand crashes through the castle wall, and a giant Doom, like literal Doom, like a Megazord type Doom from Power Rangers, you know that shit? He crashes through the wall, grabs her, and just verbally lays into her more than anything else. Tiny green woman, you have begun to irritate Doom. And she responds with, well, I told you I'd come for him. And he goes, I laughed then and I laugh now. And they kind of argue back and forth. Not a lot of action happens between the two. But the fact that, A, Doom has a, you know, Megazord-sized Doombot ready to go at his command is fucking awesome. And B, the fact that She-Hulk is ready to rip out of his hand and take him down by herself, just all kinds of badass for her, seriously. But the giant She-Hulk on giant robot fight is not meant to be, as Kristoff approaches. And he sort of breaks up the fight, and he's like, Father, don't do this,
do
you know.
Do this gigantic Doom.
Yeah, right. I'm getting to that. Jesus. But let me get to it, man. Ooh. Anyway, so Kristoff kind of shows up, and he's like, Dad, stop hurting my servant. We'll get to that in a second. But you see, Jennifer Walters reveals something to Doom that he hadn't initially thought of. See, Dr. Doom thought that this was just a hollow cry for attention on Kristoff's part. Whereas instead, Kristoff kind of takes it and is like, you would rather give up the throne than rule as I instruct? And Kristoff's kind of like, well, you would not allow your life to be dictated in every respect by another. Why should I? Why should I live my life according to your rules and your rules only if I can't live like you would want to live? And Doom's kind of silent at that. He's kind of like, huh. And he goes, very well. I will consider these matters. You have good taste in servants, my son. I know, Father. Like, servant? Still, Doom's tolerance has been exhausted. Remove her from our country before I throw her out. Literally! And so, Kristoff kind of takes her on a flying moped with a sidecar, and she's like, kind of wanted to wreck that gigantic Doom, but do not wreck this gigantic Doom!
I love that.
That's fucking
That was
great.
My favorite. Do not wreck this gigantic Doom.
This gigantic Doom costs money. And unfortunately, that's a legal tender, too, as we find out earlier in the issue. All the money Kristoff attempts to throw at her is illegal in the United States, so she got stiffed on the bill. What a class act is Kristoff, huh? Isn't he something?
He is Latverian.
Well, yeah. Hey, that's racist.
What?
Well, I'm just saying. And so we kind of get a closeout to the next story arc. This kind of closes out Kristoff's arc, but opens up a new thing. By the way, Patsy Walker is back. Apparently she's on the payroll now as sort of Jennifer Walters' investigator, I guess, which is awesome. I want to see more drunk Patsy Kung Fu. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me, Charles Soule. No, I'm just kidding. It sort of sets up this thing called the Blue File, wherein, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I didn't really understand the concept. It's a file being levied against her and several others, such as White Wingfoot, the Shocker, and it's levying that they she's a defendant for something, some sort of damage, I suppose. But the problem is she has no idea what the file is about. The file doesn't technically exist in North Dakota, but
shenanigans.
It's basically, I think that's pretty much what it is, shenanigans. I wasn't really certain on that myself. It kind of threw me. But it's sort of this thing where it's coming at Jennifer Walters not from the supervillain perspective, but from her legal perspective. That being said, this issue was fun as hell. I enjoyed every last second of it. I am looking forward to see how this Blue File thing unfolds, even if I don't completely understand it yet. But the Gigantic Doom stuff was great, and the crossover with Daredevil is sorely needed, because I'd always wondered why these two never ran up against each other. You know, it was always just something in the back of my mind. And we finally see them together, but they're not fighting each other in a courtroom. They're sort of consulting with each other, and then they're kicking ass together as superheroes, which is just awesome. So, you know, it was an enjoyable read, close out to, I guess, the first overarching story, but, you know, it was fun. You know, like Iggy said, it had a bunch of enjoyable moments with Gigantic Doom and that kind of stuff, so. I gave it 4 out of 5 solid. It was a really enjoyable read. I recommend it to anyone who is a fan of the character of She-Hulk and wants to, you know, there's still time for you to pick up individual issues and read up on this in the for the coming issues. So, yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
Do not write the Gigantic Doom. Jonathan, you're up next.
Yeah, finally. Sorry about the inconvenience. My pick of the week, and it's obviously a couple weeks old, but, you know, sue me. It's, you know, we've been a couple weeks since we've been on, so, you know, and it's kind of in tribute to the artist of the book, who has also been known for not being on time on stuff in the past. Reading Inhuman number 1, written by Charles Soule.
Austin, who, Texas' own Joe. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying Joe Matt.
And, well, written by Charles Soule. Artist by Joe Madureira. Okay, Soul. Well, either way. You say Soul, I'll say Soul.
No, don't trust him. He thinks it's Constantine.
It's Constantine.
Don't trust him.
It's time. Okay?
Okay, it's written by Cirque du Soleil.
Gosh.
just kidding. I'm sorry.
That's funny.
Art by Joe Madureira, or Joe Mad, as we all know him as
Austin,
best.
Austin, Texas. Local Joe Mad, baby. I'm sorry. Austin, Texas.
And that's fine. And all the events that have spun out of the whole Infinity storyline, where Black Bolt decided to set off the Terrigen Bomb, which I guess we find out that there are humans that are seeded with the inhuman DNA, and that the mist will unlock the abilities from everybody. And we start out in Norway with this guy getting punched out in a bar after going, you know, I was just doing a favor by talking her up at all with the ugly little thing, and he gets knocked out by this bouncer. This guy's like, why do you do this to yourself? It's every time. And why do you have to be angry? And he's like, well, anyway, and then they see on the TV about this mysterious cloud. They come out, and this guy comes out of the bar, and the cloud just suddenly flies over him, and he gets put into a cocoon. Then we go from there to New York City, where we see Medusa looking at her little lock of her of Black Bolt, her and her son. And it said, and this is Your Majesty, and I apologize for disturbing you. I thought you would know immediately. He has been found. And they're like, my husband, my son, speak. And he's like, no, Queen Medusa, they remain lost. My words are fully chosen. Please forgive me. I did not mean to raise your... Who then has been found? Eldorak, my queen. They have found the door. And in Norway, they put this whole thing inside this special ambulance, and they run off, and this guy's in this, like, hazmat uniform looking, you know, saying, if you don't get out of here, it's going to be a potential contagion. If you don't want to get infected, you better leave. And then he takes off his helmet, and he obviously is an inhuman, looking like something out of a Street Fighter game, as it, you know, one of the anime ones. And he's like, all right, my name is Lash, let us journey together. And he carries him up to this deal and explains to him what he might be and what goes on, and explains about how the Inhuman Society, you know, works, and how he was chosen, and he's the one who is like a judge. And so he explains, well, not everyone with potential deserves it, and that's why they judge and talks about how Black Bolt set it off, and you know, just talking about the Inhumans and stuff. And one of the guys, like, I think of only how many Inhumans there should be, not how there many could be, as my quote unquote not my king decided to do. And then it goes back to New York, and you find this character that's like a door, and almost looks like a bad celestial mixer or something, but he is an Inhuman, and he's like a teleporter. And Medusa was like, I don't know what to do, you know, show me what I can do, and send me to the Black Bolt so he and I might lead the Inhumans through this dark time. And it shows him her being teleported. Then it goes to some place in Illinois where this guy is coming in, talking to his mother who's like sick, and her sister's there. And just as you start getting a little bit of you know, plot development there, the mist come in and affects him and his mama Bo. And meanwhile, in Norway, the guy finally is sitting here waiting for the guy to come out of his cocoon, which he does. And then he's like, I'm sorry, but know that this means something. And the guy's like, what? I don't understand. And blast him into ashes. You know, point blank in the head, just the zack, you know, turns him into ash. And he's like, ah, the work is done. The work begins anew. And then he finds out that he's able to sense, I guess, where the mist go and where people, the potential seedings are. And he goes to the house, and then he's like, And the lady's like, what did you do to my family? What is, and he's like, child, what is your name? Gabriella. Good, I am Lash. How long since the mist came? Mist? This just happened. He's like, do not fear. I have no interest in you or your child. And he's like, and he looks at the mother, and Terran Genesis doesn't always run to completion. Must have held long enough to get the mist to affect her, but she died during the effect, which means it killed her. And then it says, the Terrigen has judged her and found her wanting. Well, her son pops out of his cocoon going, what did you say about my mother? And, you know, and it comes up with a lot of bad jokes, you know, come to mind. But, you know, he's like, your mother underwent Terrigenesis just as you have. She did not survive. Well, if you've had enough of the Inhuman genome to enter a cocoon, but not enough to change, that will not spare you, Seth. The word is the word. The law is the law. And he flames up, you know, and man, you know, get the hell out of my house. And the guy starts kind of kicking him, you know, kicking his ass a little bit. He's like, I must be mistaken about you. You might actually have proof, you know, worthy. So let me take you to Orlon, where I can show you what you are and what you can be. And he's like, screw you, you killed my mother. And he's like, well, very well, the work is done, the work. And then Medusa pops up and tells him to step away from her subject. And then, you know, they fight to a standstill, and the guy can't control the flames and almost blasts the house apart. The other guy is just, you know, teleported, and Medusa's talking to him and saying, I am Medusa, queen of the Inhumans. And he's like, I don't understand. Queen of what? A kingdom? He shows him what his name is. My name's Dante. And he says, well, Dante, we used to be a kingdom, but now we seem we are a world at war. And the time, my friend, is coming, you will need to pick a side. And it ends there. So we've got... I wasn't interested at first when I heard about this whole thing with the Inhumans, you know, the whole, you know, because especially since it, like, you know, Marvel was, I guess, trying to figure out a way to sidestep the whole mutant thing, since, you know, obviously they can't use quote-unquote mutants in their, you know, movies because of the Fox deal. But I liked this issue. And as always, Madura's art was just spectacular. It fit this, and as long as he's not going to be afflicted by delays like he's had in the past, I'll be on board for this. I want to check out issue two. Charles Soule, you're saying is his actual,
yeah,
how you pronounce
how you pronounce his name is Soule.
Okay. I'll trust him for this moment, but
I've heard his name on podcasts.
Okay, that's fine.
No, I was yelling at Brian.
I know, but I'm just saying. But I liked how it was done, and his writing in here is solid. And I think I've seen him write something else, but I can't remember. I know he's one of the up and coming writers for Marvel. And this is going to be an example of what he's capable of. I'm going to be interested in what he does. And like I said, Matt Duryea's art, I'm always a sucker for his art. It's just the only thing that usually kills me is his image, old school image style publishing routine where it's like it seems to be delayed by months. So as long as he can keep up on the scheduling, I'll be happy and I'll keep an eye on this and I will read it. I give it a 4 out of 5. And not much else to say about it. So here we go.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the main event, the true main event. Taser Avengers disc thing, something, whatever.
Way to
okay. Call
that,
yeah. Avengers Disc Wars was some animated project put out by. I actually have no idea who the whatchamacallit production company is because I forgot to look. But, I have no idea who put this out. But anyway.
And not a single fuck was given this day.
Yeah, this looks like a giant toy thing, you know, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. Avengers Disc Wars number one, episode one, rather. Everything kicks off with a bit of advanced action showing, you know, a few of the Avengers in the middle of a fight. You know, we have Hulk fighting Abomination. We get to see Janet, you know, and of course Tony Stark because Tony Stark. It gets us primed for the enjoyment to come, and yeah, it's pretty much more, you know, no more than a teaser, but that's, you know, it's kind of what you expect because it's a toy show. You know, I mean, when you look at it, like I said way back when, this is Pokemon but Marvel style, so Bri should be into this. Story proper begins with the leadoff kid, you know, the hero, so to speak, Akira Akatsuki. He's trying to get out of school toward, you know, trying to go home because today's the day him and his brother, I guess it's like spring break, you know, they're finally going to go see their father, who they haven't seen in a couple of years because the father's, he's a doctor. Actually, they don't give his first name, but Dr. Akatsuki was picked by Tony Stark to work on this secretive project, and it required him to go over to the States. So the boys have been here alone. Him, Akira, and his brother, Hikaru, who, when you look at him, something tells me that they had older sister in mind, and then they just went and changed him into a boy because everything about him says girl. I can't stress this, you know, I can't stress this enough. It says girl. It's scary. Either way, on his way home, though, you know, as you know, happy as he is to be getting out and he's going to see dad, like, fine, not teen. The hell are you guys doing? He's on
this
his way
is a separate
home.
Issue. Just do your thing.
Anyway, on his way home, he runs into this kid, and you know, the kid's looking for his mom, so it kind of slows him up in getting home. They end up being late getting on their flight, but no worries because Pepper Potts shows up looking for the two of them, and she's got this big giant freaking Stark airliner. I can't stress, this thing looks like a cruise ship with wings on steroids, and it's just the two of them, Pepper and whoever's flying, and they finally get introduced to Tony Stark, you know, and everybody's like, oh wow, look, it's Tony, ooh, and you know, he shows up flying in the armor, and he, you know, introduces himself. He does a flyby. He calls the boys samurai boys because they're Japanese, I suppose, you know, whatever. But either way, the kids are, you know, impressed. And the older boy, he asked Pepper, you know, so what is this project, you know, about, you know, why did you have my father for so long? And he's like, well, we brought him because he was to work on the Discs project. Discs, what's that? And she's like, I can't even tell you. I can't even tell members of my family. Fine. Nothing else is really said then. Scene changes to some schmo in like a chameleon mask, you know, one of those Machiavellian things, you know, like something out of Europe with this, like, hook nose. And he's talking to King Cobra, who's in jail, but he's wearing his prison garb, underneath which he's also wearing the King Cobra costume. Yeah, because Japan. So, Mask Man, for lack of a better term, because I never actually found out what his name is, he offers to get him out of prison, but he has to cooperate. And to do so, you know, King Cobra agrees, and the masked dude holds out this palm-sized object, and Cobra kind of discombobulates and gets sucked inside of it. And then, you know, the requisite laughter, you know, my plan, they'll never see it coming, whatever. Scene changes over to Riker Island. Not Riker's Island, Riker Island, you know, because Japan. And this reporter is doing is about to do a newscast about this tech presentation held by Stark Enterprises, which has a lot of VIPs and a bunch of superheroes, Hulk and Wasp. Notably, we see them there. And she tries to get on Hulk because he's chowing down on fruit, because the Hulk likes fruit. And he kind of looks at her, and she's like, yeah, that was a joke. And he, you know, just, okay then. And he goes back to munching on a pineapple. Let me see. Yeah, that was pretty much that. You know, nice bit of interaction between them as they're waiting for the festivities to kick in. Then we get another scene, and now we're on the raft, which is right next to where Tony's Riker Island is. I mean, seriously, did anybody plan this stuff? I mean, how do you put a maximum prison facility right next door to, like, an industrial park, you know, for advanced whatever? This kind of doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but, again, Japan. We get a scene with on the raft, and there's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent giving a tour to some civilians, showing off the prisoners being held inside. We've got Green Goblin, we've got Abomination, we got MODOK, who has a cape, because Japan.
Sure.
Yeah.
I hate to cut you in, but whenever I'm talking to my friends, whenever we see something from Japan, like, because Japan.
Yeah.
Because Japan.
If you see how he drew him, it totally says, because Japan. I'm not kidding. We see them. We hear Whiplash. They mention Whiplash, Zemo, and Tiger Shark. We just don't actually get to see him. Well, we see Zemo later on, actually. Then we also meet the other kids who will be involved in this story. It's three of them. Ed Grant, who's a kid that runs like a comic fan site about superheroes and stuff. Chris Taylor, who's a older teen. And Jessica Shannon, you know, because she's plucky and she's also apparently comes from money. The civilians here have won. They managed to get their hands on a platinum ticket, which entitled them to being at the presentation. Ed Grant, he's the smallest one. He's all enthusiastic because he gets to see all the heroes, and his favorite one is Captain America and everything. Chris won his because he bought a pair of Stark headphones that look a lot like Beat headphones. You know, Beats by Dre. I swear. Because Japan. Yes, exactly, because Japan. And his platinum ticket came from that. Meanwhile, Jessica bought hers for $2 million. You know, because she's rich.
Yen?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking dollars because she's American.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's because Japan.
Maybe it's Latverian money. Who knows?
Who knows? Chris doesn't seem to be all that interested, but yet and still he showed up. So, you know, there's that. Anyway, we go back to the two brothers who are waiting in the lab for their father to show up. And the father comes in, and he's got his research assistant, Peter, Yeah, it's him. You know, you find that out later on, but yeah, it's him. And he shows the boy, you know, some of the tech that they've been working on. And while the older son asks the father, you know, exactly what it is, it's Stark who, at least at first, he gives us what the name means. And Disk, where was it? Disk stands for Digital ID Securement Kit. You know, not exactly a mouthful, but, you know, a bit kind of clunky. But apparently, it's something that's to be given to the heroes as they go out doing their, you know, heroism stuff. And it's a really quick way for them to capture villains, because apparently all you have to do is hold somebody still for like 5 seconds and they get sucked into it. So job done, and you can take them to the raft and pull them out, and they're already in a cell. No muss, no fuss. Now, Stark makes, you know, when he's, you know, he lands on the stage, he does the Iron Man pose, you know, fist down to the floor, and everybody's like, ooh, yay, Iron Man. Chris and company miss that because Jessica, in trying to get them to a closer spot and, hey, follow me because I'm intelligent and I'm a female, she gets them lost, so he misses all this. Stark lands on the stage. Stark does his intro, and he pulls in other heroes. And we get Captain America, who's armored, which for Cap kind of makes sense and also kind of doesn't. When you see him, if you look at him, it's really not bad, but it's also too much at the same time. It's kind of weird. We also get Iron Fist. We get Doc Strange, who's got gray hair, and I had to laugh at that. We get War Machine. We also get Cyclops and Beast. I thought that was actually kind of interesting. And Cyclops... and like that, I think that was his new X-Men outfit. It's not the one he's wearing now. Yeah, I think it was his new X-Men outfit. It didn't look bad. And Beast is all, I'd say current day Beast, you know, because he's got the talons and he's minus the goggles, but it's like, you know, current look Beast. Unfortunately, you know, bum, 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 you know, things... You know, now it starts to turn bad because Thor shows up, big lightning blast, and, you know, he just walks towards the stage, and Tony's like, you know, are you upset that we didn't get to invite you because I can't really, you don't have an email address, and, you know, Asgard doesn't have a computer or something like that. And Thor tells Tony that, you know, bad stuff's about to happen, and right then, that's when Loki makes his appearance known, and you know, he starts kind of spouting out, all you people, humans, are ants, and, you know, I'm here to rule you, and blah, 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 blah. And Thor and Loki go at it back and forth. Brother, what are you planning? He's like, don't call me brother. I'm the rightful ruler of Asgard. Da, 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 da. And he waves his hand, and out comes a whole bunch of discs. You know, Loki had them ahead of time. Bum, bum, bum. And we see other guys who apparently had managed to infiltrate, you know, Riker Island. They're also carrying discs, and they slam them on the ground, and out pops whichever villain that they were hiding inside. So, you know, aside from the ones that I mentioned, we also get Whirlwind, which I thought was kind of funny. But aside from Riker Island, apparently somebody was also on the helicarrier, because not in this episode, but the next one, we do see Nick Fury and Mariah Hill. So there's all this stuff is happening, you know, villains and heroes, you know, start to get into the battle, and where the kids are and their father, Crimson Dynamo comes in through the glass roof. And actually not too bad a costume is rather armor design for him. They gave him, like, some white shoulder pad thingies. Kind of weird, but kind of cool. And he just backhands Peter out the window. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, even Spider-Man might have been, like, dazed for a while. But, you know, that's kind of what he needed for him to do his thing. And Crimson Dynamo goes over to the file, and he's like, where's the disc? And I need the tech, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the kids are like, hey, you let go of my father. Well, I'm teen and I can't do shit to you. And Parker, you know, as he's falling, he makes his, you know, typical comment, changes costume, comes back up, and he grabs a hold of Dynamo's arm with webbing, and it's like, ah! I mean, it literally ends with, oh, Spider-Man's here. And, you know, he asks if he can join the party, and that's it. Further episodes, there's a lot more talk. Apparently, Loki, you know, chose this moment to do what he was going to do because he knew that a big group of heroes was going to be here, at least the important ones, quote-unquote. And he got his hands on the tech ahead of time because he wanted to take and get all of these heroes here at once, which he ends up doing. You know, so Iron Man and Thor and Captain America and everybody else, they all get sucked up into a disc. But then something happens and it involves the kids and he loses control of them. Each kid grabs one. Akira grabs Iron Man and the girl grabs Wasp and the little tiny kid who's the fanboy, he gets Hulk. I think the older brother gets Thor and the disinterested kid with the Beats audio, he gets Captain America. And then it becomes like a chase around the world to get the disc because something happens and the disc just scatters. So to put it in comic terms, cartoon terms, remember the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo? It becomes kind of like that. They've got to go searching for the heroes. And that was episode 3. And I chose right then, yeah, I don't need to watch this anymore. I'm sure Brian will do so because this is basically Pokemon just with people.
How dare you compare my beloved Pokemon to such,
you know, I was
such
going
things.
It's Marvel Mom.
Shut up, John. I don't need to hear that from you.
It wasn't horrible. It wasn't bad. It was interesting. But
I don't hear you saying it was very good either. So
well,
I'm
no, well, you know what it is? I am not the target audience for this. Just like I couldn't watch Green Lantern, I wasn't the target audience, and I damn sure can't watch Teen Titans Go. Even though I see the humor there, I'm not the target audience. So, yeah, for this, I'm not the target audience. It doesn't look bad at all, but yeah. Yeah, I can't watch it. You know, kind of like, what was it? Marvel's Superhero Squad. Remember that show?
Oh, yeah. That was something
like that show.
Yeah, see, I saw the humor. I love the fact that it didn't hold itself over to, like, one kind of group of heroes. You know, it wasn't just Avengers or it wasn't just FF. It was FF and X-Men and Avengers. I don't know if Spider-Man was in it, but it, you know, it had a nice big mix. Even freaking Carol Danvers. I give them lots of credit for
she
using her.
She's making that with, well, not the time, sorry.
Anyway. I give them lots of, like I said, they had Spider-Man here, they had two X-Men and Avengers. So that's, you know, a nice kind of, and Iron Fist. Iron Fist had like this Blanca big mane of hair thing going on. I don't know what they thought.
Because Japan.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. True enough, because Japan. But it wasn't a bad show. It wasn't awful, but A, it was clearly toy-based, and B, I'm not the target audience. So I really wanted to watch it. A, I wanted to see what they did with it, and B, I just wanted to see what the gist was. And I think I've gotten that by episode 3, which if I had done 2 and 3, this would have gone on a whole lot longer, let me tell you. Because, I mean, more so than anything, it was a lot of talking and posturing because Japan and that's how the heroes do. But it wasn't.
But they also pierced the heavens.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. But it, like I said, it wasn't bad. You know, I think that this might even work over here. You know, be perfectly honest. I think that there's definitely an audience for it. I just know I'm not in that group. You know, like I can't watch Ultimate Spider-Man or freaking Hulk Agents of Smash. I'm not the target audience.
Nobody can watch Agents of Smash. That show's awful.
Arnold does!
Smash Me raises his hand.
Arnold has terrible taste. Sorry, Arnold, if you're listening, but you have terrible taste because that show is awful.
Sorry, hey, he's fabulous. Come on.
But,
Agents of Smash. Shut your whore mouth.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with everybody?
Okay, first up, before we move on, first off, fans, listen to this. I revealed to them that I like Godzilla more than Spider-Man and that I like Agents of Smash. This is basically...
It doesn't even have anything to do with that.
No, but it's all about not knowing me for who I truly am. You don't know me.
Yeah, somebody,
you hide yourself from who you are.
You have worse taste than Deadpool.
I don't like Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. That's low. That's low even for your stage.
He had Ghost Rider above Avengers.
That's wrong with him. He's mental.
Yeah, like I said, worst taste in Deadpool.
Agents of Smash is a fine cartoon.
Dude, it has them doing confessionals.
Man.
No, that's awful. And it's awful.
When am I going to see the one with Danny McBride where he's like Hermione came in and stole all our shit, huh? When am I going to see that confessional?
I like it. It's funny. It's funny.
But look, hey, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. But see, like I said, though, I'm not the target audience for this show, so I know when to jump before I just get kind of annoyed. I wanted to see what they were doing. And I've done that. So, yeah, I can leave it well enough alone. I don't need to bash it. You know, I will bash Hulk Agents of Smash, but I won't bash this. I think this is perfectly fine for, like, your – what's that group? Like, your 3 to 8 or, you know, maybe your maybe
your kids who you want to get rid of, but you don't really know how to get rid of them, so you sit them down so much TV.
If you want to say it like that – Your preteens, I think this will probably definitely – this will work for them. But anybody who's used to, like, Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes or something like that, yeah, no, this probably won't work for you. So, if I have to give it a Warriors a designation, I'll give this – a 3.8 Warriors out of 5. It really wasn't bad. I'm just not, you know, the audience that the show's designed for. But, you know, I think Bri would enjoy it very much.
I ain't watching this shit.
All right, so let's wrap this up with another would you question. Who would you take? Last week we talked about if you go on a reconnaissance Black Ops mission. This time we're going to the far reaches of outer space. The world of tomorrow. Anyways, and we will each list a character, a cosmic character, excluding the Silver Surfer himself because of his excellence. For me, simply put, and I have no logical reason on this other than I think because he'd be a cool guy to pal around with, but I'm picking the original Quasar to pal around with on the cosmic spaceways.
That's a nice, safe choice.
He looks cool. His costume's great. He seems like a nice dude. Not alien. Looks relatively human. Not going to eat me. So, yeah, Quasar. My pick. He has a cape.
I want to hear Taser's pick. I really want to hear Taser's pick.
You want me to go next?
Want you to go next.
Okay. I was actually thinking about picking Jack of Hearts because he actually had adventures out in space for a good while.
Really? He sure died before, in space.
Well, yeah, he did do that. But before he was an Avenger, he had a mini where that was a good part of it. He was in space. Actually, him, Moondragon, and Quasar actually had a bit of an adventure in space. It was actually not bad. And while Jack of Hearts is a bit of a downer, too, all things considered, it's kind of understandable. I decided not to go with him, and I chose her.
Her? That's an interesting choice. I'm not surprised by you, considering the cracks she has.
Yeah, who doesn't know who her is?
She's basically the female version of Adam Warlock.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought you were like Moondragon because...
No. Moondragon, no. No. No, no, no.
Not a fan of Moondragon?
You'll hang out with her, mind wipe your ass.
Well, yeah, there's that, actually, because she's bad girl. Although I do like bad girls, she's bad girl. However, I trust her because we're looking at somebody who's actually got, you know, vast abilities. You know, we're talking flight, energy projection. She could actually carry me in space. We're also talking somebody who's naive, ignorant, and genetically, quote-unquote, the most perfect female human Caucasian specimen ever. Long blonde hair. Basically, Beyonce in space. And I get to be with that. And she's lonely because she was looking for Adam Warlock. Oh, yeah. I'm making that happen. So, booty in space with space Beyonce? Yeah, I'm choosing her.
All right. Brian, you're up next.
I'm up next? Okay. So, I had an idea, and then you said stealth recon mission in space, I guess? Which
no, I was
kind
alluding
of...
to last time.
Oh, okay. So, it's just a mission in space?
Just palling around, dude.
That's cool.
You knew the rules before you came. This is my Herm.
Yeah,
this
well,
is my Herm. No, let me do my Herm Edwards impersonation already. You knew the rules before you entered the show. So, okay, I'm done. Sports. You...
Okay, I had, I was going back and forth between two, and ironically enough, they're linked. So I kind of had to.
You played
make...
to win. I'm sorry.
See?
I'm sorry.
You know what? I'm okay with it. No, I initially selected... who did I say? I initially was going to go with Ronan the Accuser, initially. And I still might.
Really?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, he's a badass motherfucker who wields a fucking hammer that can open portals in fucking space, duck electricity and shit. He's basically Space Thor, but only he's... That being said, I had a different idea of who I might want to actually, like, be with, you know, be partnered with in space. And that led me, ironically enough, to Ronan's one-time wife, Crystal of the Inhumans. And she's got a handy power set. She's basically Aang from Avatar, only she doesn't go all super spiritual mumbo-jumbo on you.
And well, doesn't have martial arts.
Well, there is that, but also she's incredibly good-looking, I think, anyway.
Yes.
There is that. So I'm really tossed up between the two here. I really don't know which one to go with, but I think just for brute force reasons, more than anything else, I think Ronan would be just a sounder pick more than anything else. But see, now I'm actually conflicted over picking one over the other. I really don't know which way to go.
I would have chosen Crystal. I mean, aside from the fact that you've got the hot babe,
well, yeah,
Crystal's abilities are more varied. I think she...
That's true.
Yeah, you know, I really think she'd actually come in... While pure destructive power, yeah, Ronan takes it, and he takes it hard.
Oh, yeah.
I think she'd be more useful, honestly.
Yeah,
I see that, you know. Although... That space hammer opening up dimensions, yeah, that has its uses, too.
Not to mention just him fucking laying waste to people, crushing skulls with that fucking thing, which is,
yeah, it is
amazing to see. Yeah. But, you know, maybe you're right. You know
Although,
what?
I will say this, though, and I hate to do it to you. She's not cosmic.
The Inhumans don't count under cosmic?
Hold on. To play the judge from Futurama? I'm going to allow this.
Okay. All right.
Okay, fair
enough. No argument.
I'm sorry. I've won in this situation.
I was just being proper there, but...
I got it.
I'm glad we helped you make that happen.
But you know what, Taser? You're right. If I'm going into space, I'm going Captain Kirk style. I declare Crystal to be my partner.
All right. There you go.
And I'm going to tap that.
I can't hate on it.
Yeah, man. But Ronan's a close second. Absolutely.
Understood.
And to close out the festivities, Jonathan.
Yeah, I've been thinking, racking my brain, and you know, because obviously, you know, my first thought was, yeah, Silver Surfer would be the
everybody
obvious choice, but I know, but everybody would have done that. You know, we all want a little bit of, you know, Norrin Rad in our lives, but I got to thinking, I was like, no, I didn't. I was thinking, hey, if you can dance and it's Nads, but anyway, let's not go there. I was thinking between Nova, you know, Frankie Ray, the Nova. Hot female.
Okay, yeah.
Cosmic level power. Protect ourselves. But I came down to, and call me crazy, but I got to thinking, well, there's also the Elders of the Universe. And I was thinking, since I'm a fanboy, and, you know, who'd want to see all the really weird stuff in the universe, why not hang out with the Collector? Because
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know?
I don't want to hang out with someone who didn't feel like they were going to rape me the whole time.
Well, no, he wouldn't do that.
Put me in a bottle, you know? Like,
oh, we'd have things where we couldn't keep it from being put in the bottle, you know? But
see, now, if you would have gone that route, what I would have chosen, I would have chosen his daughter.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about her. Damn.
Yeah, I would have chosen his daughter, because his daughter was actually pretty powerful, too.
Yeah.
And she probably, you two probably could have had adventures in space without a spaceship as well.
If you know me. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you also have a chance to, you know, maybe getting some of that, you know, that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But although with that. Collector, I don't know. Collector's, he's a strange one. You know, I don't know if I'd have picked him. He's
the Grandmaster, because he likes to play. You know, he can do all the games.
Hell, if you want to go have a rip-roaring adventure, pick Corsair or something. Shit.
Oh, hell no! As far as I know, he's still sucking dirt. That's all I'm going to care.
No, he's alive.
He's alive right now. With he's sun alive. Out in space.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, this is what happens when you don't read mutants for a while. but no, I would say either the Collector, but I also say Nova, because she could be, you know, you could see everything, and you know, you get the Galactus level, Herald level power protection, and you can go through the warp speed and stuff, and not only that, but she is from Earth, so you can kind of be able to hang out and update her on what's been happening.
Yeah, you can talk to her, because Frankie Ray was actually really cool. As a character. Yeah, I do like that. I can see that.
But otherwise, that's just about the only. Those are the only two I could really think of that I could think of in any way like that. Other than maybe I would love to hang out with Adam Warlock, but it would depend on what version they were doing. You know, the Infinity Watch version from back in the early to mid 90s, I would hang out with, because he was a pretty cool guy, and he also got to get, you could get drunk with Pip and hang out with Gamora. And, you know, and not ruin a certain team's name because she's on it. But
what if it was the Master one? The one from the alternate universe when he had the fro and he was also a dictator?
Oh, the Magus? To hell with that.
Yeah, they did, right? The Magus. There you go.
No Magus. I would almost rather see the female counterpart from Infinity Crusade before I'd see her.
But he had a fro!
Hell, Misty Knight, I think is her name. She has a fro, you know, just, you know.
Yeah, weird. But if you hung out with her in space, you'd both be dead.
True. Yeah. But anyway, that we'll quit digressing.
Well, I will say this. The one character that I was hoping to kind of use, but, you know, DJ Ig, he prevented me from doing it when he said, no alternate characters!
So say
no gimmick characters.
So say it, Iggy. So say it, be done.
Oh, like Aunt May as Galactus as Herald?
Yes, that's who I... the Golden Oldie, I so wanted to use her.
Wait, what happened?
Remember when I mentioned Assistant Editors Month?
Go look it up on the wiki.
Yes, Assistant Editors Month was one month where all of the Marvel books that came out, if the main stories weren't comical, then they had like a secondary story where it was all ridiculous. And I forgot what book she was in, but basically Aunt May had a dream where she had become the Herald of Galactus, thereby saving Earth instead of, I think, Frankie Ray. But she got turned into the Golden Oldie, and she took Galactus out looking for not planets to eat, but planets which had food. Yes, exactly. And Galactus was satisfied with eating pancakes that Aunt May found for him. And I thought to myself, a herald that can find good-tasting food, who wouldn't want that?
That's brilliant.
Exactly, but damn it.
How could you not allow that to happen?
Damn it. I so wanted to use her.
Because I am the boss. I almost picked Destiny just because, just for the lols.
Really?
Yes, just for the lols. And
that's
living
the same thing as you and Misty Knight being in space.
And the living Tribunal. Almost picked
Living, ooh. Come on, yeah. Dude.
That's multiversal. That's omniversal.
That's way out of bounds.
Nah. I'm going to allow this because I made
the rules. Of
course
you would.
All hail the Hypnotoad.
Glory to the Hypnotoad.
Are you making the sound effect for the Hypnotoad?
Yeah. I'm going to do an impression of it all out.
I was like, are you like croaking yourself? I don't, whatever.
No, it's just
croaking himself.
So tell us, ladies and gentlemen, who would you take on a cosmic adventure next week?
Great Space Coaster.
Well, next week, we're going to turn our sides to the other side of the spectrum from science fiction to magic. If you had to go to a magical realm.
Oh, my
full
Lord.
Of perils and danger.
Narnia!
Not Narnia, that's too safe. Just a magic realm filled with danger and just magic.
It can't be Asgard.
No, I never said magic. We're not picking the location. It's just a generic place. If you could pick anybody to go on a magic adventure that's only a magic character, excluding Doctor Strange. We cannot pick
and Thor.
And Thor. Okay, but we'll do it.
Thor
does not count. You cannot pick Thor, nor Doctor Strange.
So no Sorcerer Supremes and no headlining
no
gods.
No gods. That means no Hercules. Okay. That means no...
Okay, so that also means no Dr. Voodoo.
No anybody... He's dead, too, so...
And no Baron Mordo.
No Baron Mordo.
Baron Mordo.
No Ancient One.
He was
Who would want to hang out with Baron Mordo?
And no Doom though. Also.
No Doctor
no
Doom.
I think he was one for like a half minute.
Reach for the star. Reach for the not the stars.
Reach for the ceiling. Give me your money.
Reach inside your spell books for a gun this one. We're going to get some interesting picks next week. So pick who do you want to take along on a magical, on a fantastic voyage.
On a magic carpet ride?
God. I was going to start singing the lyrics, but I completely forgot.
Roller coaster!
All right.
That's not the song!
So we will see you all next week for episode number 166. Thank you for tuning in this time. I'm going to persevere. Everybody, have a wonderful night.
And can I say one thing real quick?
Go for it, John.
Next Saturday, my oldest daughter, Kira Simpson-Colville, graduates high school.
Woo-hoo!
I wanted to give her congrats to that. She also managed to earn herself a full ride scholarship to the university that she wanted to go to. I wanted to give a shout out to her, and I'm very proud of her. And when you hear this, Kara, I'm sure you're going to be like, "Damn it, John!" But
hold on.
Love you, kid.
Listen to this.
No, only certain parts, and then only she would because she's 18. My wife don't even listen to half this. My wife don't even listen to half the stuff that's on here. She gives me looks that would make, if looks could kill, I'd be 16 under 40.
Nice. It's a good woman there.
All right. Well, we're gonna wrap it because apparently my house is under attack by water. So we will see you all next week for episode number 166. See you.